It's Stephanie Staples. Welcome to Your Life Unlimited, where we're always trying to give you some ideas, some insights, some inspiration for better living. And I don't know about you, but for me, I need to be continually re-inspired, re-motivated. It's not something that didn't just happen once and it just lasts you for a long time. And people ask me all the time how I keep motivated and stay motivated. And my answer is simple. It's people. People inspire me. People motivate me. And there's no shortage of inspiring people around. And today, I'm excited to bring you a couple of ladies, movers and shakers in the community and beyond. The first one is Michelle Ray. She's the author of Lead Yourself First, Indispensable Lessons in Business and Life. She found her way passing through Winnipeg recently and just excited to have her here on the show. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Stephanie.
So your passion, your what gives you energy is helping women, especially.
Helping women, helping people to understand that it is possible to be able to be the leader of your own life.
Well, and I think people have an association with leadership that it's a certain people with certain letters after their name and certain positions in the company.
That's right. And I've got a different slant on things because I believe that leadership is first and foremost a mindset, not a title. It's more important to think about who you are rather than what you do, because it's who we are that really creates our, you know, the path that we have in our life, personally and professionally. So character is really far more insignificant in my view.
Well, it's interesting. I remember reading something about, you know, how many positions we have in our life, like how many titles we have. And,
yeah.
And they say the more different ways we can associate ourselves rather than just, oh, I'm a nurse and that's what I am, I'm a nurse. But then if you lose that and something happens and you're not a nurse anymore, then who are you? Your identity is a bit lost. Whereas if we can have many, many roles and titles, and I'm putting those in air quotes, if something does happen to one, it's easier for us to shift. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's so true. And I think that so many people do get wrapped up in the idea of an identity, and the identity that we have primarily comes through our career, if we're working, of course. And then it can also come when, you know, we might be a mother, we might be a grandmother, we might be an aunt, we might be whoever outside of our work life. But of course, I think it's more important to think of ourselves as far more than that. Like, what other roles do we play in our life? And to be able to realize that we can be so much more. So, you know, again, in my experience, a lot of my work is corporate work and working with organizations and with leaders, and for them to understand that, you know, that's far beyond their title, that it's really their character, their integrity. Those are the things that people really remember about us, and that's what we should be putting our energy into, being the best we can.
Well, and I also find that a lot of people are being the best at work, right? They're on the top of their game, they're doing their thing, and then they come home at the end of the day, and their best is sort of all used up.
And then we're not necessarily the best version of us, are we?
Exactly. And
that's true.
Well, we treat ourselves and then the people we love the most, matter to mm-hmm. us most and care about us most in a way that doesn't maybe become the leaders that we want to be, right?
That's true. That's true. Because we're human. But again, you know, when you're out there and you're in the public eye, and again, you don't have to be in a leadership role to be in the public eye. You don't have to be in a political role to be in the public eye. We are always, you know,
mm-hmm. somebody's watching.
Where someone's always watching, and I think that that's something that we don't think about enough. Is that every day we get the opportunity, you know, to put our character on display, and I think it's really important to be mindful of that.
So I'm always interested in the backstory about how people kind of got to where they are and what drew you into this leadership, this passion about leadership. And what's your backstory?
Well, my backstory is that, you know, like many people up until the past 20 years. So 20 years ago, you know, I made that bold step of leaving my job. And, you know, as much as I enjoyed my work, it was really a question of the leadership and the toxicity of that that made me realize that there had to be more to, you know, what I was doing and with whom I was working. And it was a very challenging time, but it was the catalyst that changed everything for me when I actually was bold enough to take that step and go somewhere else.
So, it's so funny that you just said because just before you wrote said bold, I wrote bold on my paper. Like, boldness seems to be what you have to dig out of you to. Was it you that saw a movie about in BC? Where you want to live?
Exactly. I was sitting in a movie theater in Sydney, and I'd had one major disappointment happen in terms of a dream to live in New York. And I just could not make that happen on a permanent basis. It was extremely difficult to get permanent residency and a job. And so I found myself back in Australia. And that sense of longing and that sense of disappointment about what I had wanted to do, it didn't materialize. But I found myself sitting watching the movie Roxanne. And it was 1987, 1988, and I was sitting in the theatre completely mesmerised with British Columbia and Nelson, British Columbia in particular, and I waited till all the credits rolled up. I had to see where that place was, and that was immediately a place that I was drawn to, and 3 years later, that's exactly where I was.
That's a very cool story.
It was great.
And bold, right?
Bold. Yeah.
That's cool. I like the line that you have, leading yourself is being yourself.
Yes. Leading yourself means being yourself, because I think that's another struggle that many of us have, is to realize that there's a lot of it's very attractive to be authentic. But when you come the full circle and you have a really good understanding of yourself, then you're very comfortable with being yourself. And for some of us, you know, there's a journey to get to that point. And it's amazing, actually, what I've discovered with some of the people that I've met. As I said, in the business world, we might be surprised, because you see a certain veneer. And really, when you go behind that and you discover who the real person is, you know, often they're just like the rest of us. So when we can be really comfortable in our own skin, I think that that's when we're ideally positioned to achieve whatever it is that we set our minds to.
I like that. It's attractive to be authentic.
Absolutely.
You know what else is attractive, I find? Self-confidence.
Yes.
Not cockiness.
No. No, that's right. Self-assuredness. And, you know, coming back to something you said at the beginning, and whilst it isn't necessarily only, of course, not only women that struggle with that, but having that self-assuredness and confidence, sometimes I've had women say to me, but people misinterpret that. They say that I'm being assertive, or I'm being aggressive, I should say, rather than assertive. And how should I deal with that? And my answer always is, you've got to be comfortable with who you are. If you have an opinion about something, you're 100% entitled to express it. If you're not violating anyone else by the way you're communicating and you're being respectful, but you feel strongly about something, that's being confident, that's being assertive. Nothing wrong with that.
Sounds good. What's the biggest thing that maybe surprises people when you're teaching about leadership? What's the biggest thing that makes people go, oh, I never thought of it that way?
Well, I really think it's the whole idea of seeing leadership as about character, not about title. And I think that that's a fresh perspective, and it has so many, it's relevant in so many different areas. So people really enjoy that message, and I think that's really where the surprise is, that you can lead yourself.
In fact, we have to lead ourselves.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
The alternative isn't so beautiful.
Yeah, no one else will do it if you don't do it.
Or they might do it, but they might be leading you the wrong way.
If you follow them, that might happen. Yes.
You also talk about your perception is a reality.
Yes. So I have discovered through my own life, and I think that this is true for many people, that we create our own perception. How we see something is our truth. Now, you know, that can get quite deep, really, but what is your truth? What is your perception? And whatever you decide it's going to be, that's going to be your reality. So how you see something, it'll actually manifest itself that way. You know, if you look for the good in people, that's what you're going to see. If you look for the negative, then that's what you're going to always notice. So we have that option too, to choose our own reality.
I enjoyed reading your book. I enjoyed that you showed your frailties as well. Right. I always appreciate that, the vulnerability.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, I've got another way of putting that too, is that humility is not humiliation. Mm. Humility is strength, and again, very attractive. It's not like people, you know, get a kick out of seeing somebody fail, although there are people like that. But being humble is what makes us human and real.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
You can
thing.
Pick up Michelle's book at find bookstores everywhere, and Amazon.com, I'm sure.
Yes.
And also find out more information about her work at MichelleRay.com. I love it when people have nice, easy names to say and spell. It makes my job so much easier.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for joining us. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Welcome back to the show. I just want to send a big shout out to TiberRiver.ca, 408 Academy, 1650 Keniston Road. Even their website smells yummy. Check them out. And if you haven't been to a Mo Mondays yet, our next one is coming up on December the 15th. Everyone's been sold out. Don't wait till the last minute. I always feel bad. The last 3 days, people are borrowing and stealing tickets. So please get your tickets ahead of time. You can find out more at yourlifeunlimited.ca. Go to the events tab. And if you need some more inspiration, that's the place to get it. Beautiful stories, beautiful music, and you meet the nicest people at Mo Mondays. Pretty darn excited to have Charmaine Hammond back in the studio with me. It's been a couple of years since we did an interview together.
Yes.
You've always got lots going on. Charmaine Hammond is a professional speaker. She's an author and has been finding her way across Canada. I have got some buddy very well. You're interesting, Charmaine, but I don't think I've ever had a dog in the studio before, and I'm pretty excited to introduce the star of the show, which is Toby, star of many of your books. So let's talk about that and what you got going on.
Well, Toby's a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. He's 2 years old, and he is like love and energy on four legs. And he's the star of a new series of books that we'll be putting out. But the first series of books on Toby's Terms and two children's books were based on our Toby Senior, who was a house-wrecking dog and a toilet-breaking dog and turned into an incredible change maker. He became a therapy dog.
I remember that book, and I remember thinking, I thought my dog was bad till I read your book. And I was like, oh, you're not so bad.
So Toby Jr. now is carrying on this mission that we started to make the world a kinder place, and that's what's important to us.
So you're on a tour. You're on a cross-Canada tour. Let's talk about that.
We are. We're on a cross-Canada tour, and we're visiting schools and workplaces as a professional speaker. That's part of what I do. And what we've noticed is that when you bring a dog into the mix, there's a really interesting transaction that happens. Dogs are just amazing role models of what pure acceptance looks like. You know, you go to the dog park, dogs don't judge one another. They don't judge people. They just accept people for who they are. And so we started bringing in that message of Toby about how he accepts people. And that's what we talk about corporately as well as in schools.
So what do you find is the biggest kind of surprise when people meet Toby and hear that story?
Well, usually he barks. So that's a big surprise when he comes.
He was barking a little bit earlier.
He was.
He looks pretty chill right at the moment.
Yes, enjoy that quiet moment. So what happens we see, especially with children, is that when we're talking about kindness, acceptance, and respect, children don't imagine themselves being mean to an animal. And so they want to be close to Toby. They want to be connected to him. And we're talking about a message that many parents and schools are talking about, being kind, being a good friend, being a community leader. But because there's a dog in the mix, it makes it all the more memorable. It really creates an experience for them.
And so you're not just doing this for kids, though.
No.
I'm just thinking kindness, respect, acceptance. Yeah, we all need to learn more of that.
We do. I do a lot of speaking, as you know, in workplaces, corporations, and events that corporations go to. And we see that all the time. I see that many workplaces are lacking in kindness. And that leads to so many other problems. We see increased bullying in the workplace, harassment issues, conflict is on a rise. And the sad part of it is that relationships get damaged.
You know, I always think about the kindness part that everybody, oftentimes we think, oh, it's other people. Like, other people need to be kinder. They need to be different,
yeah.
Right? But it's sometimes it's a little bit harder to hold the mirror up to ourselves and go, how is what I'm doing reflecting back?
Exactly. And I love that question because that's what we encourage people to think about, even in the workplace. And one of the elements I've learned from doing this is that when we exhibit kindness to one another, you've seen that Perk commercial from years ago where, you know, they tell another person and they tell another person. Same thing happens with kindness. People pay it forward. A cycle of reciprocity is created. And so I know that when many people get on board with something like that, it can really make a big difference in the workplace and change the atmosphere and ultimately change relationships for the better.
That's one of my favorite words, reciprocity. I really had to practice to be able to say that. But now that it rolls off my tongue so nicely, I want to say it a lot because, and I think sometimes, you know, like I believe that things come back, right? You do good, it comes back. But sometimes it doesn't come back the way you think it's going to or the way you think it should or the way you think it will.
Yes.
But it comes back.
It does.
You just have to have faith. And the timeline might not be the same either, but putting it out there makes a big difference.
Yes, for sure.
So do you think Toby's going to be on the interview today or what do you think is going to happen?
Toby.
He looks pretty chill. This should be...
I think he might start snoring instead of barking.
Well, as long as you don't, we'll be okay.
That's right.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I'm going to ask you a little bit about your other book, which is GPS.
Yes.
GPS Your Life, which is kind of a cool way to talk about navigating the road of sometimes difficult and challenging waters or streets, perhaps, as you might use. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. It's Stephanie Staples with the Your Life Unlimited quick tip of the week. So in radio, we strive to do something called driveway moments. And have you ever been driving in your car, listening to the radio, and you pull up in your driveway or in your garage, and you would turn your car off and go in, but there's something compelling on the radio that makes you want to listen and finish the conversation or finish hearing the story, so you sit in your car. Has that ever happened to you? Well, I was thinking, what if we could create driveway moments like in our own work or home life? Like, could you create a driveway moment with your customers or clients? Like something that made them stop and go, oh, I want to know more about your product or service. Or could you create a driveway moment around your kitchen table with your family that make them want to stay and listen to the conversation and answer some thought-provoking questions? Or could you create a driveway moment with your partner and make them kind of stop in their tracks and go, oh, what did you say? Or, oh, what are you wearing? So think about a driveway moment. It's not just for radio. How could you create a driveway moment in your life? Big shout out to vivacityfitness.ca. The fit tip of the week is, did you know that you can shave 10 to 20 years off your physiological age just by improving your aerobic capacity by 15 to 20%? Yep, brisk walking will be enough to do the trick. That's pretty easy. Stop thinking about it and start moving. And also big shout out to First Impressions, hairandskin.ca. They always leave you looking and feeling great. I am in the studio with Charmaine Hammond. She's the author of, among other things, GPS Your Life. What's GPS standing for in your world, Charmaine?
Well, we call it getting prepared for success. So when we think about GPS in your life, we're really talking about creating your best life. Deborah Kozowski and I, who wrote the book together, we both put our brains together and thought that we've both been able to create a life that we love. And how did we actually do that? That's the basis of GPS, Your Best Life.
So you picked where you were and then you went backwards to figure out how you did it.
Exactly. Usually how I work in life.
I love the book. I love all the analogies. You made it really fun and interesting. And so let's talk about some of the concepts that you have in there. I was talking earlier about driveway moments.
Yes,
which
I
kind
love
of maybe
that.
Fits into your car analogy, sort of. You talk about junk in the trunk.
Junk in the trunk. Yes. You know, so many of us carry around stuff. And what I mean by stuff is we carry around unresolved issues, complaints that we never got to sort out, emotional issues, and all of those hold us back. And when we're trying to create our best life, when you're trying to create your best life, what's really critical is letting go of things. And that is tough for people. It really is tough. But figuring out what you are holding on to that is stopping you from getting to where you want to go. And that's what we mean by getting rid of the junk in the trunk.
Well, so actually we could take that in two different ways, because really that clutter that literally is in a lot of people's trunks or cars.
Yes.
Or you open in some people's cars and it's like, oh my gosh, because that's our office and that's our daycare and that's our whatever. But I think, like, I've read somewhere too that decluttering, when you declutter, there's a direct correlation to weight loss.
Yes.
In real life, which I thought, well, that's a good reason to declutter right there.
Absolutely.
So there's the actual physical decluttering, which I believe is very healthy as well. And then what you're talking about is that kind of mental decluttering.
Yes. And when people are trying to determine their goals and outline their future, if there's all these past issues and lack of clarity there, it's very difficult to figure out how to get on track. And that's what we talk about in the book, is how to find a lane and stay in that lane. And many of us, I know even I have experienced that. I set a goal. New Year's resolutions are a perfect example. And probably everyone listening has set that New Year's resolution in the past. And by February, we can't even remember what it was. And that's because of sometimes we're holding on to stuff, or the goal wasn't clear. It didn't have a plan. It didn't have a timeline.
So I think also people find it overwhelming, right? You think about, okay, the junk in your head trunk,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot. But if you could just pick one thing, like what if we could just pick one thing to work on getting rid of in the next 30 days, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's easy to say let it go, but
yes.
How
yes.
do you let it go?
One of the things that I worked on was getting rid of the negative chatter in my brain. And I think lots of us can relate to that, where we sort of talk to ourselves. And
We do.
And a lot of what we say to ourselves is not positive. It's not affirming. It creates doubt.
It's not something we'd say to people that we like, or
exactly.
Even probably that we don't like.
Exactly. We say things to ourselves that we wouldn't say to other people. So if there was one thing that we could do, I believe that's a great place to start, is changing that negative chatter to more positive or affirming chatter. And a friend of mine, Irene, taught me a great lesson years and years ago. She said, when we start talking to ourselves, simply say, cancel that. And I thought, oh, really? Will that work? And I remember one day I had made a mistake and I couldn't get it out of my mind. And I went from blaming myself to retracing everything I had done to make sure that I actually had made the mistake, and all of these games we play. And then I remember Irene's tip, cancel that. So out loud, I kept saying, cancel that, cancel that. And eventually the thought just left. It didn't come back.
Interesting that you said the thought was in your head, but the cancel that, you said that out loud.
Yes. Yeah, it might not work so well at a staff meeting or in a conversation with your supervisor, but in alone it works great.
And so you could make up your own word, whatever worked for you, right? So sometimes if you're on the computer a lot, like delete. It's so easy on the computer. Delete, right? We could delete on our head. And one thing that the word I use when those thoughts are coming, I go, shh. And then I've actually, of course, done that out loud at other places, and people are like, what? And, oh, sorry. Never mind. I don't need to explain it to you. It's not you. You can continue talking, but I'm just shushing myself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I think one of the things I always like to tell people is, think about the concepts that we're sharing, right? Whether it's when I'm speaking or interviewing, you hear these concepts, and people, it's so easy for people to say, well, that won't work for me. You know, but our job, I think, as adult mm-hmm. learners, is to think about the concept and how can I take that idea, his idea or her idea, and mix that with my own idea and make it work for business or life or community. And that's our role, right?
Yes, exactly.
Otherwise, it's too easy to sit back and go, that won't work for me.
Exactly. It's all about solving problems creatively. And I really believe that every time we make a mistake or we don't hold ourselves accountable, or we committed to something and actually didn't follow through, all of those are opportunities to learn. So we can either do something different that changes our next outcome, or we do exactly what you did, kind of cross our arms and say, oh, that won't work for me, or mm-hmm. it was someone else's fault. So that ownership and responsibility is so critical to getting on track and being able to drive in the lane you're deciding you want to drive in.
I'm curious what you said earlier about how you and, is it Debbie?
Deborah, yes.
Deborah, kind of looked at where you were at this life that was where you wanted it to be, and then you look backwards and see, what did we do? When you were creating that life, were you purposeful and intentional and deliberate about creating that, or did you just kind of fall into it and then go, hey, like, this worked?
Love that question, and I think it's a bit of both. You know, the whole bringing our dog into the business, I don't think that was ever part of my intentional plan. So that's an example of where something evolved. And I have great passion about being able to work our dog into the work that we do. With GPS Your Best Life, when Deborah and I were writing this, some of the things that we saw was that when we were open to opportunities, because I believe we meet people that we need mm-hmm. to meet in our life, situations happen to teach us a lesson. So when we were open to those, it started to almost line everything up that we needed to be able to move forward to the life that we wanted. And then often there's challenges that happen along the way, and there's opportunities that happen along the way. And if we don't have our eyes open to those, we miss them. And I can certainly think of a number of times that I was so focused on my goal that all these opportunities were coming left, right, and center, but I was so focused on what I thought I needed mm-hmm. that I missed them all. And then it was too late. So I think for me, it's a bit of both.
And I wonder too, like when you talk about challenges and opportunities, I wonder if sometimes they're disguised, right? That you almost can't tell which is which. It could be a challenge, but then dig a little further and it is an opportunity underneath there.
Absolutely. I think sometimes those things happen to be able to test our commitment to what our passion is, or to test our commitment to our goals or our purpose. And I've had a number of situations where that's absolutely happened, where a situation is created, sometimes not a positive situation, but it feels like a test. Am I really, truly committed to what I set out to do? Or maybe I was off track. Maybe this is pulling me to where I really need to be going.
And I find also sometimes, you know, that head is too sensible, the heart is too mushy. And when that happens, you know, that but that gut rarely leads us in the wrong direction.
It's so true. It took me years to learn how to follow my gut. I always used to do the opposite of what my gut would say. And years ago, I worked as a correctional officer. So relying on your gut was critical. It was very important to safety. And that's when I really learned to listen, because when I listened to what my gut reaction was saying, or if my stomach was churning, it was telling me that I need to pay attention.
Yeah. We're smarter than we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. If you like what you're hearing, please check out yourlifeunlimited.ca. You can find me on Facebook and all those social media platforms. And I look forward to sharing some great ideas with you, your staff, your people. And you know what? It's not me that has all the great ideas. The people that we bring on this show and the people that are in our community, our Mo Mondays community, and just the whole Your Life Unlimited community. Just beautiful people with beautiful ideas for making themselves a better person, making the world a better place. And at the end of the day, I mean, we all want one thing, two things, I guess. Maybe we all want to be happier and healthier. I think at the end of the day, that's what we all want. Doesn't matter where in the world you go. Charmaine Hammett is with me today. She's got some ideas on how to make that happen. She's got a great analogy with her book, GPS Your Life. And it works for both work and home life as well, right?
It does.
And I think if we're happier at one, we're going to be happier at the other, and vice versa.
You've got it.
And
absolutely.
If we're happy, everyone around us is going to be happier.
That's right.
I say, I don't just do this for an altruistic reason. I want to make you happier so that you'll be nicer to my kid when you go, you know, to the store, and so that you'll be let me in when you're driving. You won't be so cranky. So I'm doing this. It's not just for me. It is just for me, actually. It's all about me. Okay, so you've got some other ideas in your analogy with driving. Clear your windshield.
Clear your windshield. Oh, you know, when you think about driving on a car, you're going on holidays, we've often gotten in the car, there's bugs on the windshield and dirt. It's very hard to drive forward with a dirty windshield. So when we talk about that, we're talking about clearing off those distractions that are getting in your way. All of us have them. A friend of mine actually went unplugged for a week, and it was so hard. I'm still trying to imagine, how do you unplug for a week?
Wow.
And I credit her for being able to do that. For many of us, technology is a distraction.
So I'm curious, did she go away? Like, was she away?
She actually didn't go on vacation,
wow,
which was
even
more
harder.
That would be hard. She just simply unplugged. And she said it was incredible to be able to do that. And she realized that in many ways, there's so much noise in our world, you know, so many things coming at us. So unplugging, getting rid of the distractions, being able to wake up every day with what I call framing your day. So waking up and framing your day is choosing in advance how you want your day to go, setting an intention. That's part of clearing the windshield.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm back on her giving that up for a week. I need to interview her about that. But, you know, so here's an example of what I was talking about earlier. We're like, hear the concept. So if you hear that and it scares the bejeebies out of you and you think, I could never do that for a week, then break it down to something small. So what about just not having your phone at the table?
Yes.
Like, no answering phones during meals. The phones all go in. You have a bread basket and you could have like a phone basket where all the phones go in here during meal times. Nobody will die if they don't hear from you. You know,
for an
during
hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if a week sounds too daunting, which it probably does to most people, think about the concept of it, just unplugging a little bit.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the importance of asking, which we had our Mo Mondays recently, and somebody asked me a question. He said, "How do you get people to do what you want?" And so I answered the question as best I could. But then after he said, no, he said, I didn't mean that. He said, I mean, like when you have an audience and he says, whatever you tell them to do, they just do whatever you tell them to do and they like it. He said, how do you do that? But I answered the question thinking he meant, how do I get people to?
Yes.
And so I think that's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. You know, I call it the power of the ask. And Deborah and I wrote about this in a number of different ways in the book because it's such an important element to both of us. I'd say most people struggle with asking, whether it's for resources, help, guidance, support. But what I've seen in our own life, in my own life, time and time again, is when I can ask for what it is I need, often the answer is yes, mm-hmm. which was a really big mind shift for me. We go into an ask thinking that the answer is going to be no. And I think it was Jack Canfield who said, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. But when you do ask, what happens is that often there's a lineup of champions that are ready to support you and assist you. They just didn't know what you needed or how they could be of help or service to you. So I've become really good at asking. It took a long time to develop, I would say, a comfort zone. But what I've learned is that when you can show up in the world in an authentic way, simply be you, people see through it if you're not, mm-hmm. especially those who know you well. If you show up authentically and you're not attached to the outcome, you're not coming from a place of desperation mm-hmm. or scarcity. So you're open, you're authentic, you're prepared to accept a yes or a no.
You're not taking it as a personal affront if it's a no. So, for example, Absolutely. When you approached me about you're going to be passing through town, you know, was there some way that we could mm-hmm. help you promote this, the tour?
Yes.
And great if I say yes, and oh, if I just say no, that's okay.
We'd still be friends,
yeah,
and I'd love you anyways.
Yeah. It's all good.
Exactly.
So I think you're right. I think that's a big... you know, just maybe it's getting out of our own way
mm-hmm.
and not being so attached to the outcome.
Yes.
And I also think that people, I remember thinking this too, like if you loved me, you would know what I need. You would know, and I wouldn't have to tell you. If I have to tell you, that ruins everything. I have to ask you.
Yes.
But that's not right.
No, we place such expectations on people in our life to be mind readers. We do it with our spouses. We do that with our children, our extended family. And the reality is people are not inside our head. We're inside our head. They're not sure where we are in that specific moment. And lots of us have had an opportunity where something just happened 2 minutes ago or 5 minutes ago, and we're still in that event. Mm-hmm. We haven't transitioned over to, you know, to where we are in the present time. So people can't read our minds. And the best thing we can do is make it super easy.
So how would you do it? Give us an example.
When I'm asking, when I'm doing an ask that's important to me, I practice. I go in front of the bathroom mm-hmm. mirror. I say it out loud. I watch how my face looks. And I can tell if I'm uncomfortable with my own ask because my face says it all. Mm-hmm. I go red or I stammer over my words. So you practice until you get it right.
Practice your ask. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. It's always my pleasure spending Sunday morning with you. If you're interested in more information, find at yourlifeunlimited.ca. I've been speaking with Charmaine Hammond. You can find her at charmainehammond.com. Charmaine, if there was just one thing you could let people know, what would that be?
Get out and practice and ask. So sit down, decide what it is that you need, practice in front of the mirror, and then go and do the ask for real.
Excellent. She is the author of GPS Your Life. It's a great book. Check it out. And I look forward to seeing you again here. As usual, it's Stephanie Staples encouraging you to live your life unlimited.